Hey everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast, this week brought to you by RotoQL. I'm your host, Eric Bertzeloff, better known on Twitter as @DynastyTrades, joined by my two co-hosts, Nathan and the Salamander himself, the slimy, sticky, fantasy Salamander. What's up, man?
The Salamanders?
I really botched that.
I'm fully taking on, I'm embodying the Salamander. I had pizza for dinner, and breathing into this thing, I'm just getting reflections of garlic and pizza just in my face, and it's kind of hard to even speak right now.
What does that have to do with a salamander?
I don't know.
Like, I thought you were going for a second with like mutant ninja turtles, and you were like,
I mean, you can make that reach too. I'm just I'm lost.
No kidding.
I'm speaking out of a food coma.
Hello, Nathan.
What's up? What's up? I didn't eat pizza. I had steak, but you know, there's that.
Ah, dude, steak is bomb. It's good stuff.
There's the Dynasty Food Cast. There we go.
There it is. That'll be our clip for the week. And that's going to go ahead and wrap up the show. No, just kidding. So we have some exciting preseason. Preseason week two, I guess technically week three. We don't count the Hall of Fame game, right? It's week two.
Sure.
So we'll chat things that have happened there, dynasty values that have shifted, and have some dynasty conversation. And then we'll wrap with a game of keep, trade, drop today. Just warning, probably going to be on the quicker side, but who knows? Nathan thinks there's a lot of really deep discussion in the keep, trade, drop. So I'm hoping that's the case, because I love arguing with you guys.
I plan on rambling to keep you all here for an extra 20 minutes.
Dude, I'm just fantasizing about Mike Davis doing anything in the league and Nathan having to eat dog poop is what I'm fantasizing about.
Man, I hope
if you
so.
Missed last week's show, that's what happened there.
Yeah, no, listening back to that, I may have regretted it, but I don't think I will, because Mike Davis is never going to be a workhorse back in the NFL.
Well, what I would say is you unfortunately have some percentage of eating dog poop based off of what you told us. So there's a non-zero chance.
Maybe it's just like a chihuahua or something. It's not
like
a Great Dane or anything.
I think it'd have to be Frank's poop, but you know.
Let's pivot off of that. Thank you, Dan. And have the listeners a quick reminder that you can support the RotoViz Radio Network and all of our 10 shows per week on Patreon now. If you haven't ever done Patreon, it's a way to basically give a weekly, monthly contribution if you really like what we're doing. It's a really cool way to support the show and support people that you know, take a lot of time to do this for you guys for very, very little money. By doing so, you'll gain exclusive access to the RotoViz Live, our weekly Sunday morning show, answering all of your fantasy questions. Partnerships start at just $5 per month and provide exclusive access to RotoViz Live. That's 4 shows per month on top of 40 podcasts for just $5. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today to join an exclusive community of listeners, access premium content, do your part in helping the network grow and continue to produce high-quality industry leading programming.
Speaking of those awesome exclusives, Eric, as a loyal RotoViz Radio podcast listener, you can also get 30% off your RotoViz NFL pass right now. It's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. The season is almost here. Make sure you're ready. Gain unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, so you get amazing value and can support the podcast network. Once again, that's rotovizradio.com/podcast.
Yeah, and it's starting to ramp up right now. I mean, the season's on top of us, so RotoViz is really cranking out the content. So go out there, get that RotoViz pass, and then if you really want to, we would appreciate it if you want to support us on Patreon as well. Okay, anything else before we get into the show, Nathan?
Let's get it started.
Okay, first on the top of the notes here is, because we just can't quit him as Dynasty owners, Josh Gordon is back.
And we can't quit him as the Dynasty Tradecast team by not talking about the Cleveland Browns at the top of the show, every show, no matter what. You would think this show is based out of Cleveland the moment we talk.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, so Josh Gordon is back in the building. And I had possibly my most viral tweet I've ever had. Had 199 likes. I said,
wow.
The sell Josh Gordon window has opened for the 13th time in the last 5 years. So
what's messed up is that might honestly be undershooting it.
It's probably closer to 20.
It has been truly absurd.
I mean, think about all those blurs. Like, oh, Josh Gordon had a salad today. He must be getting his life turned around. I was like, okay.
Dressing on the side. Ah. Oh, good God. Okay. I mean, I think we're just going to say what we always say about Gordon here, but unless one of you just suddenly, like, I don't know, fell into a time warp and learned something in the future that we didn't know. But I mean, Nathan's exactly right. This is, if there is hype around Josh Gordon, like, run, sell him. Like, it happens like every 2 weeks that he's like, is he going to be done forever? Nope, he's back. And he's worth like a fourth round startup pick. Great.
Yeah, with Gordon, the only thing that his presence at camp does is it ends the book on the Dez Bryant experiment that, you know, we kind of talked about on last week's show, and we'll talk about it again after this. But, I mean, the other thing it does, that if he ends up playing, I think that Landry loses a couple targets. But I think that of the guys that you want to count on in the Cleveland offense, Gordon would be behind Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Duke Johnson, all those guys I'd rather have in my lineup consistently than Josh Gordon. So it's kind of I'll believe it when I see it with Gordon from an on the field perspective. But if you can, sucker your way into getting like a mid first for him right now, I do that every day of the week.
So just to give a little bit of, a little more perspective from maybe the other side, just so we're not like all negative all the time on Josh Gordon, because we kind of all are in the same boat with him. But
yep.
I mean, we saw him for the little bit last year, and I mean, he absolutely can still play. He's not, I don't think he's going to be that level where he was just like unstoppable, where when the ball was in his hands, it was just like he was gone. I don't think he's that guy after what, 5 years now. But I still think he's kind of that offense's playmaker. Now, Jarvis is going to be the kind of pacifier for whatever quarterback is behind center, whether it's Baker, whether it's Tyrod. I think if Tyrod's back there, it's more likely to be a Jarvis-led offense than anything. I think once they maneuver Baker in, it might be a little bit more Josh Gordon, a little bit more down the field. So, I mean, we know that he can still do it. The main issue, though, that we always go back to is he going to be there? Is he going to stay on the field? So with this kind of, whether it was Hard Knocks or just trying to get his life straight, whatever it was, missing that time is important. It's not, well, he doesn't need to go to camp. He's a 6-year NFL veteran. It's like, well, no, he's played like
right.
20 games. He's not a 6-year veteran. He has barely played. So we kind of got to keep that in the back of our minds, but yeah, he definitely can still do it. I'm kind of, part of me really wants him to succeed, but at the same time, it's kind of a tough path.
I mean, yeah, this is, And the thing is, like, he's great. He's a 6-year veteran. So, I mean, and he's not really a 6-year veteran, but he's 27 now. Like, he's 2 years away from being like what everybody's saying about AJ Green. Even if he turns out to be amazing, that he's going to like start losing value because he's going to start hitting that like age 30 cliff. So, I mean, I think just hitting it home, I mean, he's got a fourth, fifth round startup ADP right now. That's nutter butters to me. If you can get, basically he's worth like the 105 in last year's picks right now, which is okay. I'll take that.
All right. I'll move on to Dez here. Just kind of, ask the question. Will Dez have a job come week one, Dan?
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have a job. It just, he needs to stop being so weird about it. I understand that, especially at that, once you get like your 30, whatever, you kind of just want your family to be set up and you want to just kind of land one place and stay one place. So I understand he's trying to like drill these teams and like, hey, what about this? And like, well, my family, and are you gonna set me up for retirement and all this. Like, I get that. And I understand that that's probably the process he's going through. But at the same time, you cannot be so picky when there's literally four teams that have sent you an email, maybe right. Giving you a phone call. It's, you can't be so picky. You can't be so selective. So I think he does have a spot, week one. I think this is more of a, I don't really feel like practicing type thing, because Dez is one of those kind of guys. So
see, I think he's holding out. I think he thinks he's worth too much money and he won't take less money.
That's like, part of it. Yeah. That's part of it for sure.
Hit the nail on the head on practicing. Like, okay, he's going to show up. What? week four of the preseason at some facility, and he's not going to be ready for week one because he's not going to know the offense.
Yeah, I mean, we saw something similar with Adrian Peterson a few years ago when he was just kind of like hanging around, and like the last week or so of camp, he finally like joined up. But yeah, I mean, he's going to have a spot. I don't know that it's going to do much for his dynasty value at this point because he's going to be playing from behind. As good of as a receiver as he was, maybe he's washed, maybe he's not. You need time with an offense. You can't just plug and play. It's not fluid like that.
Yeah, and I have no evidence to back this up, but I would venture to say he probably hasn't gotten a concrete actual contract offer since the Baltimore offer in like May or June. I think that teams have whispered, oh, maybe we'll think about picking him up. But I think the Baltimore one that was reported is the only real offer he's gotten, and he didn't want to play with Joe Flacco. He thought that he wanted to play with a better quarterback. So I honestly don't think he has a job week one, but I think if he does, then like the two favorites as of now that Cleveland's out of the picture, it's New Orleans or San Francisco.
I wouldn't hate a New Orleans landing spot. I think that makes a ton of sense. That's a you know, championship caliber team. And he could do a lot with Drew Brees. He could be his 30-year-old Marcus Colston.
Yeah. Oh, Marcus Colston. That's actually a pretty decent comp. That's good stuff.
If you told me 5 years ago that Dez would be being comped to Marcus Colston, I'd be a bit disappointed.
You'd be dropping him from all of your teams.
Dude, as somebody who owns Dez on a number of teams, I'm pretty disappointed, Nathan. I'm not going to lie.
I know, but I'm saying like that you know, we once thought Dez was like a once-in-a-lifetime athlete, but no, obviously
he was. He was for like 3 years.
I'm saying like, all right, back to the Josh Gordon conversation. Like when Dez was 27, he was getting drafted first overall in Dynasty Startups, and now he's out of the effing league.
Oh, whoa, effing. That's a strong F right there. But
yes, sorry.
Let's move away from Dez because it seems like Eric's getting a little
gotta keep the PG tag on.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to Theodore Bridgewater. Everyone and their mother is trying to predict where he will land, where he'll get traded. And this is one of the more curious things from the offseason for me. People seem to think that like teams are clamoring for Teddy Bridgewater. There were 31 teams that didn't sign him for a while during the free agency and weren't willing to take a risk on him. I don't see the Jets getting anything more than maybe like a fifth from a team that like has an injured quarterback. I think that the concept that they're like there was a RotoWar blurb that the Jets are asking for a high price for Teddy. And if that's the case, they're not going to move Teddy. He'll just end up being their third string quarterback. So,
dude, I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, I think that argument is slightly flawed, though, is because I think everybody was so nervous after him coming off of that injury that they were like, okay, if you're not touching him, we're not touching him. And that was kind of the contagion that took over in the NFL. And then finally the Jets were like, fine, we'll take a shot on him. We'll give him no money and a real incentive-based deal. And then he's turned out to be pretty solid. But I don't know. I mean, the NFL, much like dynasty owners, are very, very fickle and change their mind very, very quickly. And bad owners and GMs might actually go out and say, okay, now the kid's proven it, that the Jets stuck their neck out there. We can compensate them. Like, I mean, and I wouldn't say the Broncos are a bad organization, but that's a landing spot that to me makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense if they hadn't just given a huge contract to Case Keenum. They can't afford to make back-to-back mistakes on a veteran like that. So I think that, like we talked about before, the Broncos' next quarterback will be a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but they're going to have to wait for a good 2 years before they're even getting anyone quality. And they can get out of Case Keenum after this year, I believe.
That's correct.
So going after Teddy, honestly, I think now that we've seen him out there, we know that that leg is mostly intact, it seems.
Stable.
Right, and we saw him a few snaps last year with the Vikings. You know, it was the cool story and everything, but he still wasn't right. He shouldn't have been out there. But now this preseason, yes, it's preseason, and we can't overreact to it, but he looks stable. He looks accurate. His deep ball looks better. And those are some of the things that kind of were his knocks. And, you know, the 31 teams, like you said, Eric, that didn't go after him and the Jets finally took a shot is because they just didn't want to pull the trigger on someone that they didn't know was healthy. So now that people see that they're healthy, I think you get teams like Denver, even teams maybe like New England, throws out a mid-round pick if, you know, the Jets, obviously, you know, inside the division, that's a tough thing. But, you know, Brady's not going to play forever, and Bridgewater would make sense in that kind of deal.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Where else would he go? I mean, barring an injury, is there even a spot that's open for him? I mean, I think that the Broncos seem to have the worst QB squad right now.
There's no spot that Teddy gets traded on in late August where he becomes a starter anytime before like week five. And I don't really understand the concept of trading for him for the future. He's on a 1-year, $6 million deal. So unless you plan on a franchise tagging Teddy next year or sign him to a huge extension, like it's more likely that he's going to be getting his next, you know, be from his next team, not from a trade, but from, you know, a contract. So.
That's the thing, though. If they can work out a not a massive deal, you can work out a 2-year deal for, you know, whatever remote minimum might be, because it's like, hey, it's either this or it's nothing. And player coming off an injury like that, I mean, obviously he just did that with the Jets and the 1-year thing, but he still might be willing to do it if, you know, those phones aren't ringing off the hook and you just have a few options. He might be willing to roll with that. So honestly, I think the Jets do move him. I think they're comfortable with Darnold and McCown. But I don't know that, like you said, Nathan, there's not really any place where he can go where he's going to be a starter prior to maybe one of the first few bye weeks. He's going to need that time to learn the offense, to, you know, kind of implement himself. And maybe it is just ends up being due to injury. So it's kind of a weird one. I love Teddy, always have loved him coming out, and the injury sucked. The Vikings moving on sucked, but I understand. It's an interesting one. Something I'm definitely going to keep my eye on.
If you had to percentage-wise say the chances he's in a Jet, I mean, I'm thinking he stays a Jet easily through, I don't know, let's call it week four at like 80%, right?
No, I'd say it's like 50-50 he starts the season with the Jets right now.
Oh, really? You think he's going before the season starts?
Yeah. Because if they're going to move him, they're going to move him now, so he can kind of get his, you know, kind of get implemented with his new team. But at the same time, it's not going to mean much because he's not going to play right away. So we're kind of in a weird time right now. It's almost like they waited too long, but at the same time, people needed to see him. So dynasty value does obviously it's kind of just 2QB super flex type stuff. Nathan, if you had to put a value on Teddy, if you're, let's say you're, you know, a big Teddy fan and you just want to go get him on one of your rosters, in Superflex or 2QB, what are you thinking of offering for Teddy if you're maybe QB needy or you just like the upside?
Yeah, I think that the only way you really acquire Teddy in Superflex right now is if it's in a situation where a guy is having a tough time making a roster cut. And sometimes making a roster cut, you decide to deal your third worst player rather than cut your worst player. So, you know, maybe go to the guy who has Teddy if he has a deeper roster and say, hey, I'll throw you this third for Teddy. You gain a third and you don't have to end up dropping anybody. So that would really be the move. I think anything more than a third is an overpay just because there's not a clear outlook to how Teddy Bridgewater gets a starting NFL job, much less one that's for a long-term situation.
Yep. Totally on board there. Okay, let's pivot over to a man who has beaten out both AJ McCarron and Nathan Peterman, I understand that I am making a slightly incorrect statement for it was just for like entry into the segment here, guys, and then I get shot out of the sky, and there's no fun. I can't exaggerate. This is ridiculous, but that is Josh Allen. Who's now slated to start the next preseason game and potentially week one?
I mean, you can't start Nathan Peterman. You can't start anyone named Nathan.
Hey, remember that blurb where Nathan Peterman was really making a turn and was going to like give everybody a run for their money on the team?
He was only going to throw four interceptions in a quarter.
God, some of the blurbs, just going back, we should just create like the greatest blurbs of the off season that are just pure comedy at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I may be like making this up, but I think I recall like some blurbs being like, do the Bills have a wealth of talent at the quarterback position? Will they trade one of them? So, yeah, for me, I'm always team start the young rookie, the first-round pick quarterback. I like to see what they do in the field from a fantasy perspective, but I also think that you don't really learn much, you know, having a headset on. So I think that the best thing for Josh Allen's future is to start week one, even though it's an absolute mess of a talent situation there. But, you know, the Bills led the league in carries last year and, you know, rushes. That's not going to change. assuming McCoy doesn't end up getting suspended, McCoy is going to like lead the league in carries. So I think they're going to do their best to try and, you know, take the pressure off of Allen, but also just putting him in the position to succeed.
Put him through the Trubisky ringer, if you will. Don't let him throw more than like 10 times a game and just pound the rock. I can see that.
Might not even have wide receivers in the game at all. So yeah,
they're just gonna put 10 offensive linemen out.
Right.
9 offensive linemen, Josh Allen and JD, and that's it.
Oh God. I mean, with the depth they have, they might as well.
Yeah, it's still a situation where, yeah, I mean, even if he starts, yes, he's making slight progress in the preseason. He looked good on a few passes the other night. I don't see it. He's got all of the arm talent in the world, which has always been his like go-to. He has no touch. You can learn some of these things, but man, when the guys with the big arms like that, it just, they always seem to struggle with the intermediate stuff and kind of the underneath stuff. And he's still struggling with it. Yes, he's good down the field. Some of his, you know, those timing routes he's been all right on, but everything else has been just so messy that it, you know, in a dynasty, unless I'm getting, you know, really good value or gifted Josh Allen, I'm probably not seeking out. I'm not trading for, I'm not rostering any of that fun stuff. I did, however, draft him in the Scott Fish Bowl, so hopefully he does start week one.
I mean, isn't this the part of the show where, like, if the blurbs are starting to look this way, I mean, especially in Superflex, it's a rookie starter. It's got a lot of sex appeal. I mean, you mentioned Trubisky. I mean, it's a similar situation in my eyes. Like, he's going into just a dumpster fire and is being expected to be productive or not get killed. And I think that they're one of the least amount of talent in the NFL right now, that entire team. So it'll be tough for him that year, much like the Bears last year, but maybe next year will be the answer. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, maybe now's the sell time, or maybe there's going to be hype in the offseason next year, no matter what he does.
Yeah, I think he does inevitably start, because you just cannot put Nathan Peterman out there. And obviously McCarron's out with injury for however long, whatever.
Well,
that
he said he did not break his collarbone, by the way.
Oh, okay. So it was just a scare. Okay.
Apparently.
Well, I mean, I think
he can't practice for a while, but he didn't, like, it's he's probably not going to be able to, you know, play until like week four preseason at least. So.
Interesting. I think they still go with Josh Allen. Honestly, I think Buffalo wants that. I think the coaching staff wants that. Obviously you would hope that the player wants that. So I think we can call him week one starter with maybe like 51%.
They could really use somebody like a Tyrod Taylor over there, couldn't they?
Yeah, it's too bad he wasn't available.
Too bad.
All right, let's wrap up our topics with Adrian Peterson. You know, he might be 87 years old, but he is currently signed to the Washington Redskins football team. So, Adrian Peterson, does this scare you off of all of your Rob Kelly hype, Dan?
Whoa, where is that hype been?
I mean, I think I have still a couple of Rob Kelly shares just sitting around randomly because I could IR him last year. But he was bad last year. But the name of the game is opportunity. And if he's going to be given touches, he has value, whether you like it or not. Obviously not much dynasty value, but as a waiver pickup, you know, even a late round flyer pick to go help your running back depth in a dynasty league, if you think you can compete, getting potentially 12, 15, 18 touches. I mean, that's honestly in play. We don't know the health of these other guys. We don't know how committed they are to Rob Kelly or whoever else they have. So obviously they brought AP in to play. They're not just going to go get him to be like, all right, you're big name. You're just going to sit on the bench. And we know how the Grudens love their old washed up running backs. So there's that.
Sure. This doesn't move the needle much for me. I think there's going to be a lot of like redraft hype around this being a sleeper. And like, I just think he's going to split time. Like he did in New Orleans before he kind of bolted out of there. But maybe you're right. Maybe they just ride him into the ground. But I just don't know that he's got any gas left in the tank. I'll be sitting this one out, even with contenders. I'll go look for a better option.
Yeah, right into the ground. He's already in the ground. So,
yes.
I never said he was good. But he's going to get touches, and that's the name of the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's purely a guy. I mean, we talk about best ball options where he might have like a 6 carry for 18 yard in a touchdown game, and maybe that gets you a start, you know. Right. So yeah, he's nothing more than that. You know, he would be on the roster bubble if he's even on rosters right now. So yeah, I mean, not really expecting much, but you know, it's kind of one of those things that if you get anything from him, you know, it's a positive. But I'm not out going out trying to target him.
All right, trade cast bet time. Over under 1.5 75-yard games. Eric, oh, under. Or under?
75-yard games. I'll take the over, but I don't love it. It's not by much.
I mean, last year he had 2 games with like 130 plus yards and only like 1 game with a touchdown, I think.
Wasn't that on like 42 carries he did though? It's like an each
one of game. Them one of them was really inefficient. The other one was actually a decent game. I don't know.
It was against Tampa. Yeah, it was against
Tampa. Awful. I was like, I remember him running the ball like every single play in one of the games.
Well, no, the one against Tampa, like he had like 17 carries for like 140 yards because Tampa was that bad.
He broke a couple off, I think I remember, but he got caught because he doesn't have that same speed anymore. So, yeah, I think, like you said, Nathan, I think he's a best ball option at his highest, you know, value any place else. I mean, if you have him, I mean, keep him now. You were about to throw him away if he didn't sign, but I think you can hang on to him now and maybe get a week or two as a spot starter.
I don't know that I'm doing that. I think I find he's got enough name recognition still that I might go out and try to get a second for him.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'd be trying to shop if I could get a second for him. This is going to be this week's recommendation. Last week was Peyton Barber. This is Adrian Peterson. If you can go get a second for him, then kudos to you. Send it to us.
Let me get a more actionable advice. Do Peterson in a third to get a second because you're not getting a second for Peterson.
There you go. That's accurate. Also, I did get
a second for Barber after the show last week. Fun fact.
Speaking of Barber, Nathan in Kadoosh today, that was a Peyton Barber trade, was it not?
Oh, was it Barber and Carson?
It was, I don't, well, maybe it was Chris Carson. I'm high. I saw Barber moved in a package, whether it was Kadoosh or it was another league, moved in a package for a first. No,
it was Carson and Kittle, not Barber.
Okay, so it wasn't Kadoosh, it was another league, but yeah, it was like Barber and like two other things that were worth zero for 2020 first, I think, and I about punched my computer.
Dude, the Barber hype is continuing to grow. He has not lost value since last week's show, so maybe now you can get a better second than you could have previously.
Oh boy.
But actually, I have a question, and one that's not on our agenda, but maybe one that I just thought of that I, in the same vein of Dez, somebody who's gotten literally no hype is Jeremy Maclin. Is he droppable at this point, or are we expecting him to start the season somewhere?
He's a drop.
Yeah, I think he's fully deceased.
That's sad. I love that guy, but I'm starting to think that as well, and I've got him on a couple of rosters holding on for dear life, and it's about to be cut time. There's not been an ounce of a buzz about the dude since he was dropped. All right, I will do the ad read and welcome the listeners to our new sponsor for this week, and that is RotoQL. Do you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineups for you each week based on your starters, bench, and free agency pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? How does it work? The app connects directly with Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual rosters and league scoring. The SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based in your league setting. SquadQL truly is the go-to app for this fantasy football season. Head to squadql.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leader in daily fantasy lineup optimizers, trusted by over 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free on both Apple and Android. So check out RotoQL and SquadQL to help you out this season. All right, let's do a game of keep, trade, drop.
Keep, trade,
drop.
Oh man,
I might stick that drop in there. Love the Beastie Boys drop. He'll stir fry you in his wok. Okay. Nathan, why don't you go ahead and walk us through the keep trade drops?
All right. For once, we're actually going to do an actionable version of keep trade drop. Normally, we're like, keep trade drop, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, or, you know, some other person you shouldn't be cutting. But this time, it's going to be end of roster cut, so you will actually be cutting some of these guys. You will be keeping them and maybe trying to trade some of them if you think they have a little bit of value. So let's start off with the quarterback position. Now, for a lot of these guys, we thought, okay, with Superflex, you're going to be keeping most of them. For a 12-teamer, you're probably not keeping any of them. So let's say it's either a 16-teamer or a 12-teamer with very deep rosters. And so our first trio is going to be Theodore Bridgewater, who we discussed earlier, Chad Kelly, who we discussed last week, and Mason Rudolph, who really hasn't gotten much buzz, but I guess that doesn't really happen when you have no like shot at starting anytime soon.
I don't know, man. Ben could tip over at any moment. That dude's been just taking a beating for like 5 years.
Five?
Well, I mean, like 15. Yeah, it's been like 5 years since he couldn't get out of the pocket. So he was at least moderately mobile. He could make it to the edge a little bit. These are three guys that I really like. I think there's a lot of hype surrounding both Teddy and Chad Kelly right now, and not so much around Mason Rudolph. And while I like Rudolph, I think he's my easy cut here. My issue becomes Teddy and Chad Kelly. I think there's probably more hype, at least on Twitter, or maybe it's just the people that I follow. It seems like everyone wants to see the Chad Kelly show, which, if it happens, is going to be entertaining, to say the very least, because he's kind of that wild card quarterback, but he's also very talented. I think he's got some of that like Josh Allen-ish to him, where he's, you know, big arm but kind of sloppy. So I think I'd maybe trade Chad Kelly just because it seems like I might be able to get something more for him and keep my guy Teddy.
All right, I'll give my take here. And I've tried to put the wet blanket on the Chad Kelly hype on Twitter and on this podcast. But I do think of all of these guys, he has the most clear path to win, to like starting possibly this year. I think that Teddy needs a trade and then some to get it to have a starting job this year. Chad Kelly only needs Case Keenum to be very, very bad at football, which could certainly happen. So, I think I'll go with Dan. I will trade Chad Kelly because I do think that, you know, you can get a third round pick for him. I will keep Teddy and I'll drop Mason. But all these three guys are very close and, you know, have some reasonable upside. But, you know, it's just hard to keep guys that don't have starting jobs and want QB leagues.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's so crappy about guys like Mason Rudolph, who you kind of know aren't going to – because you drafted Mason Rudolph knowing that he was not going to get any hype right now. And, like, if he's on your team, like, you're going to be forced to drop him. And there was almost a 0% chance he was going to get hype. So in this particular – and, again, in this particular instance, you're forced to drop him, or at least we all did. But I will do – I'll go ahead and trade Chad Kelly just because I think he's starting to get hype, especially if he plays well next next game in the preseason, if he does play in the next preseason game. If he does that, it'll continue, the hype train will continue to roll. And I'll hold Teddy in the hopes of him getting traded and potentially taking over for Chad Kelly. And then I'll go ahead and drop Mason Rudolph. But it really is. I mean, and this will be a lot of my soapbox this whole way, is like, you, a lot of your late round picks in these rookie drafts are, you end up with a lot of really tough decisions, which I think we're about to see.
All right, let's move on to the running back position, and it is going to be Rock Thomas, who had a huge reception, I believe, in week two of the preseason. Bo Scarborough and Kenneth Dixon. Eric, start us off with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the – he did look great, but we've had a number of players look great. But, yeah, I mean, he went what for – he went – for over 100 yards, I think was what it was in the week two. So kind of a guy who popped up out of nowhere. Yeah, looking up now, over 130 yards, which is pretty impressive. So, but one flash in the pan is not enough to move the needle for me. So first, I'll go ahead and hold Dixon. He doesn't have much value, but there is a number of paths in which he becomes the guy in Baltimore, or at least becomes a piece of being the guy in Baltimore. if there were injuries or if Alex Collins just turns out to be kind of a schlub, which I doubt's the case, but certainly is possible. He hasn't proven it too much. And I'm not sure you can really get trade value for any of these guys. So I don't know. Maybe I try to trade Rock Thomas if I have him on my roster after that, and like try to dangle out the carrot to somebody and say, oh, 140 yards in a preseason game, come and get it. Fourth round pick, come on. Because you might very well get it, but Scarborough, I don't know. He's never moved the needle for me at all. And I don't think he's really flashed all this preseason. I could be mistaken, but I haven't been following the Cowboys too hard. But yeah, he's a guy that I don't think anybody's interested in having. He was a fourth round pick to begin with, and I think he's depressed a little bit in value or stayed exactly the same.
Yeah, Bo Scarborough's bad. That's for me here, I think he's my easy drop. And then you get to Rock Thomas and Kenneth Dixon. Kenneth Dixon's been a guy I've been talking about stashing and who, like you said, could potentially get a little piece of that pie.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the whole thing, because they do have some talented guys there. And if we see, you know, maybe Alex Collins keeps doing what we saw last year, or maybe he regresses to the Alex Collins he was for the first 2.5 years of his career, whatever it was. But they still have Buck Allen there, who is a very talented pass catching back.
But they did put a lot of, I believe, what Kenneth Dixon was, what, a third, fourth round pick? They put some decent equity into him, I believe.
But that was 2 season ending injuries ago. So
no, I do understand that, but
it was also a Newsome guy, so I don't really have much to lean on there.
I'm just saying he has the draft pedigree, is what I'm saying.
I
don't think it was a reach at the time for them to go get him there.
Sure. But then you look at like Rock Thomas, and now you've got probably a less clear path to touches when you consider, we have to assume that Dalvin Cook's going to stay healthy. We don't know. But Latavius Murray was a rock last year. And however,
a Rock Thomas.
Yeah, sure. There you go. He showed that he can kind of do it all across the board. And I mean, he caught a few passes here and there. He was great between the tackles. So I don't see a place for Rock Thomas there. However, I do think that they keep him. And I think they keep him active because he, you know, maybe somebody just kind of gets banged up during a game and they can throw him in, because I don't think he's too far of a fall from Latavius Murray. I think he can bring a few extra things to the table in the pass catching game. Obviously their wide receiver and, you know, tight end and all that stuff is pretty deep now. And obviously you have Kirk Cousins to run that offense. So it's probably anybody who's going to be in there is probably going to have a little bit more production than they maybe would have.
Was Rock Thomas on either of your guys' radar prior to breaking out here? I mean, I know you guys do a bit of a deeper dive, but he's not a name I heard at all in the preseason here.
Yeah, he was a top recruit who went to Auburn and then flailed out there and went to like a 1AA school. So for the deeper Debbie guys, he was certainly on the radar, but he wasn't really a guy I was really targeting in rookie auction or rookie drafts. I mean, I do have him on a couple of teams where like fifth round picks and things like that. But I will just go with my keep trade drop here. I'm trading Kenneth Dixon. You can find the one Kenneth Dixon. He's the one guy in this group that I can guarantee you can find someone who'll give you a third for in most leagues. So I'm trading him. I'm cutting Bo Scarborough because he's not that good. And, you know, he's behind Ezekiel Elliott. There's not really a path to playing time there outside of a Zeke injury, I guess. And I will keep Rock Thomas just because he, you know, might be Jerick McKinnon light.
Interesting.
That is interesting. I agree with Dan just because he agreed with me.
All righty. Let's go to the wide receiver position. And I asked for submissions on Twitter, and like the most like position I got sent was wide receiver. So it was kind of tough to choose which three here. But we are going to go with Terrell Pryor, who broke out a couple years ago, didn't do much last year in Washington. Jordan Matthews, who was traded to the Patriots and subsequently cut, probably still injured, so he's probably not going to get picked up anytime soon from an NFL roster. And Taylor Gabriel, who has been getting some hype with the Bears.
All right, I'm hopping in. What up? This has got to make you guys sad to see Jordan Matthews on this list, doesn't it?
It's not great.
That's got to burn a bit. Been saying didn't like Jordan Matthews for a while now, and here we are with him with Terrell Pryor, who you love, Dan, and Taylor Gabriel.
You throw a B in that name, and it's terrible Pryor, which would make more sense.
God, it's good to rub this in. Okay, let's go ahead and get into it. I This one's tough. I'm going to go ahead and probably keep Taylor Gabriel just because he's kind of unsexy. But the problem is, if I do that, there's nobody else that I can trade here. Neither of these guys are worth anything on the trade market right now, unless you find somebody who on name value alone wants one of them for a third, which is at this point pretty unlikely. So I would like to probably keep Taylor Gabriel just because I think he's going to have some value for this year. And actually he had value last year as well. And he's been a guy who you can in bye weeks or in tough situations put in, and he always finds the field, which is great. Jordan Matthews, I guess I'll try to trade him and I'll drop Pryor, but realistically, they're both kind of just drops at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you on Gabriel having the best, like, you know, bi-week fill-in type upside of this group. And so I'll keep him. I will trade Pryor, you know, because he's on the NFL roster. So I think that someone might, you know, fancy a third-round pick, maybe a high fourth-round pick for him.
Right.
And the thing with Jordan Matthews, I'm an avid believer. Like, I was an avid believer at one time. He's not going to be making my rosters that I have to make cuts for this week. So as someone who is a fan, it's going to hurt to cut him, but he is the one who I'd be cutting up this group.
Man, this brings you back to a trade I made when he was a rookie and breaking out. And I gave him in a second for AJ Green. And I'm so happy with that move. Just so happy.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. Yeah, I'm entirely with Nathan on that one. I think you can still find somebody that would give you something for Terrell Pryor. I think Jordan Matthews, as much as it hurts, will also not be making any of my teams. And I think everyone's kind of sleeping on Taylor Gabriel a little bit. I think everyone assumes that it's just going to be like all A-Rob and now all of the Anthony Miller hype. And we still don't really know what Trubisky can do. Obviously Nagy being there helps a lot, but we don't know that he's going to be a down the field, you know, stretch it out kind of guy. And honestly, you look at his college tape and everything, Taylor Gabriel is somebody that works okay with that. He can work underneath, he can stretch it out, yeah. But I think getting him in the slot a little bit more is going to help Trubisky out immensely. Obviously they have Trey Burton, who's going to basically be playing that exact same position. So, I think I'm right with Nathan. And just to remind everybody, we you know, we talk about these, you know, people like to talk about sleepers, like, oh, who's your deep dive? Who's your sleeper? Like we know something that you guys don't. But there is real value to be found in these places. I was chatting with the guys before the show and just kind of mentioned something about guys like Marquise Goodwin and even Tariq Cohen. These were guys we were talking about potentially that weren't going to make our teams last year. Now, obviously, if you were rebuilding, you were keeping Tariq Cohen. Or if you were just like, hey, throw a dart at the board and see what happens with Marquise Goodwin. Well, now both of those guys are inside the top 100 ADP and right. Have real value. You can trade them for real assets. These guys aren't there right now, but these are the kind of guys we're looking at and trying to evaluate their situations, their talent, everything around them to find, you know, that free value. You're looking at someone that was droppable who now you can get something actually good for or keep them and use them in your fantasy teams.
Yeah, I mean, the argument here, if we're just truly playing the game, is probably trade Gabriel. Because value-wise, you could probably get, I don't know, what can you even get? I'm like a late second, seems like it might not be doable. But yeah, he's certainly the most valuable out of the group, which is what I think what we're all trying to say.
Yeah.
Mostly because Jordan Matthews is worth zippy right now. Terrell Pryor is worth next to zippy. But you're right. I mean, Jordan Matthews, the injury, he's been injury riddled. If he gets, he'll get another shot once he gets healthy. And then if that's the case, then who knows? Maybe he stays healthy and is a serviceable wide receiver three, which would be free money if you put him on your roster.
Right.
But that's a heck of a waiting game and a heck of a reach if you're making cuts today like Nathan is.
Alrighty, let's wrap this game up with the tight end position. And as we know, the end of roster tight ends can get a bit ugly. So this is our list of tight ends for today. It's going to be Luke Wilson of the Detroit Lions. People forget that he is now a Lion. Rico Gathers of the Cowboys as of Monday. He probably won't be a Cowboy on Thursday. And Nick Vinette of the Seattle Seahawks. So, Dan, keep trade jar.
I mean, I'm definitely keeping Luke Wilson. I think he has real value at the tight end position. I think he can do something in that offense. Yes, they have Marvin Jones. Yes, they have Golden Tate. Yes, they have Kenny Golladay. And they have all those running backs who they don't know how to use. But I truly believe that Luke Wilson's going to have a role in that offense, and he's going to produce a little bit. So I'm going to keep him for sure. I think Nick Vinette maybe has a clear-ish path to touches. And we don't really know what Seattle's offense is going to look like. They seem to like think that Chris Carson's the second coming, and they're just not going to play their first-round draft pick.
That's right.
So I don't know what's going on in Seattle. So I think because of the clear-ish path to touches, I think Nick Vinette and Luke Wilson have the most trade value here. So I would keep the guy I prefer in Luke Wilson, trade Nick Vinette, and then cut Rico Gathers. As fun as it would be to watch him play and just like dominate everyone physically, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's in the cards.
Yeah, I think I'm basically going to follow suit with you here. I'm because Wilson, both Wilson and Vinette really have nobody who's coming at. Like this season, it's either going to be the tight ends in those offenses just don't have any real production, or it's going to be one of these guys who's going to be producing. And I think it's probably unlikely that it's the former of those two. So out of the two, I bet one of them actually ends up having some serviceable value. And you have Vinette going into his third year. And I think Wilson too, actually going in. Is Wilson in his third year as well?
No, he's in like his sixth year.
Okay.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Vinette's going into his third. So that's the year that tight ends explode, right? So maybe he'll come out of nowhere and Travis Kelce us or whatever. You know, I don't know what a good example of that actually off the top of my head is, of somebody who like kind of just slept for 3 years and nobody had ever heard of, and then so suddenly just bursts onto the scene.
Well, basically most tight ends aside from Gronk and then like last year's class, it's basically been forever tight end.
Yeah, it's basically no tight end you draft in the first round of a dynasty. Like Max Williams, RIP. Yeah.
No, oh man, why'd you bring it up? Come on.
So both of them are very close to me. I guess if this was the case, I'd probably shop the market and see if either had more value. I think Nick Vinette is more of the like exciting piece right now, the one getting news getting the blurbs on Roto World. So he's the guy I'd probably be out actively shopping and hold on to Wilson and drop Gathers, because yeah, I don't think Fetch is gonna happen.
Rico Gathers is not going to happen, but I think that his believers have not quite jumped ship yet. So he's my trade here. I think that I see every day how many times that Rico Gathers is going to get traded to the Chargers, or the Chargers are going to pick him up when he's cut. So one of those people who are just guaranteeing that's going to happen, I'll trade him to him.
Yeah, and what, play behind Antonio Gates for the whole year? For what? Why would you care?
Gates is not on the Chargers.
He will be.
He's coming back,
so, baby.
So the player that's not on the Chargers is going to play behind the tight end that's not on the Chargers.
That's right.
For the Chargers. That's right.
I'm saying that he can't beat Antonio Gates out of a job. And the guy's not even on the football field.
There you go. And Luke Wilson is my keep. I think that he has the most likely to have some like streamable weeks. And Nick Vinette's my drop, just because I think that Rico Gathers has like the more of the flair appeal for a trade. So, I mean, you're not getting anything more than like a late third, early fourth for any of these guys. So, yeah, take what you can get if you're, you know, doing this as a, you know, trying to figure out who to drop.
All right. I think that is a boring take on three very end of roster tight ends, but who knows? Maybe we'll get one that strikes. We'll strike fire here. We'll get this year's Gary Barnage here, maybe.
Wow, what a pull. Gary Barnage.
I actually just dropped him in one of my leagues.
Stop it. Come on.
I know. It was the meat league that's been really quiet, but I was like, what am I doing with Gary Barnage? He didn't even play all last year, and he's still on my roster. What am I doing?
That's not great.
And I still made the playoffs. What's up?
You don't seem to do very well with tight ends. Didn't you franchise tag someone in a kitchen sink league?
Oh, are you talking about Steven Anderson, the GOAT? Actually, I trolled myself on Nathan's question on Twitter and wrote, who are you thinking about dropping? And I wrote Steven Anderson.
Yeah, we talked about that before you joined the Hangout.
Ah, good times. Hey, he is still currently franchised in I think it's Kitchen Sink 4. He's still currently – no, it's actually Cinco. He's currently franchised. If anybody wants to go look at that, enjoy that, because it's big franchise next to him.
It was a great use of all-purpose money. Great use.
Is, yeah, and I thought it was Fritz. So that's that story's just all around embarrassing. It's not, nothing I'm saying is going to make it better. So I'll just go ahead and give up. I've made a mistake. My bad. I'm still learning. Sorry about that kitchen sink. It's only like the most complicated league in the entire world. But that's cool. All right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap the show. Make sure you leave 5-star ratings and reviews. That always helps us out. Make sure you go check out our sponsor, RotoQL. They're a product, SquadQL. And make sure you join the RotoViz Patreon if you want to support us. If you can, that's great. We really appreciate any money that you give to us, and do not take that for granted. We understand that it's a lot. For Nathan, Dan, the Salamander, and myself, we're going to catch up with you guys next week.